There was a time when NBC lived up to its old slogan, must-see TV. For most of the 1980s and 1990s, the network dominated television with iconic hits that shaped the culture of the time. Miami Vice, The Cosby Show, Cheers, Seinfeld, Friends, and more. It had The Today Show in the morning, The Tonight Show in the evening, an unbeatable lineup of sitcoms for Thursday night, and Saturday Night Live every weekend. For some of that time, it also showed Major League Baseball, NFL football, NBA basketball, and the Olympics. The network earned its ratings by pushing the boundaries of television. Miami Vice brought MTV visuals to the police drama. Hill Street Blues incorporated gritty realism. And Seinfeld brought self-awareness to sitcoms at a time when most half-hour shows still ended with a hug. These shows made NBC one of the most profitable divisions of General Electric, to which the network returned $800 million in profit in 2003. In 2010, just 7 years later, the network expected to lose more than $100 million. When Comcast agreed to acquire 51% of NBC Universal, it was mostly interested in the company's cable channels, Bravo, Sci-Fi, and others. The proposed deal assigned the broadcast network an on-paper value of zero. As NBC has faltered, other companies that rely on its programming have thrived. In early 2006, more than 5 million people watched the famous Lazy Sunday Saturday Night Live sketch on YouTube, which was bought for $1.65 billion by Google later that year. Heroes, one of the network's recent hits, became one of the most popular shows on file sharing services. And telecom companies built empires selling bandwidth that lets consumers download or stream pirated television shows without commercials. NBC isn't the only media institution that has seen its value plummet in the last few years. MGM, with its iconic Roaring Lion logo and library of James Bond films, sold for $5 billion in 2004, but drew bids of less than $2 billion in 2010. The EMI Group, which owns Capitol Records and the classic Beatles and Frank Sinatra recordings, ended up in the hands of Citigroup after a private equity buyer couldn't make its debt payments. The Washington Post, which set a high watermark for U.S. journalism when it published the Pentagon Papers and uncovered the Watergate scandal, has reduced its newsroom staff, closed its national bureaus, and perhaps most painfully, declared, "We are not a national news organization of record." While each of those companies had its own issues, they all faced the same underlying problem. They weren't collecting enough of the revenue being generated by their work. The material they put out was certainly popular. But like Lazy Sunday and Heroes, that material built other businesses, including the Pirate Bay, Apple's iTunes store, and the Huffington Post. The damage isn't limited to major media conglomerates. Independent film companies are struggling, and studios have cut divisions devoted to smaller films. Music sales in the United States are worth less than half of what they were in 1999. Newspapers have seen ads decline by 43% since 2007. The Tribune Company entered bankruptcy in 2008, and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer laid off most of its reporters and started publishing only on the web. It's time to ask seriously whether the culture business as we know it can survive the digital age. As recently as 2008, the Electronic Frontier Foundation could say that the music industry is the only industry that appears to be unable to adjust their business models to take file sharing into account. Even at the time, this wasn't entirely true. The DVD sales that drove movie studio profits were already falling. At this point, with newspapers losing readers to websites that summarize their stories, and the television and book businesses threatened by online technology, it's time to ask whether any significant professional media business can thrive in an environment where information can be taken so easily. When nearly a quarter of global internet traffic consists of pirated content, according to a study by the Envisional Consultancy commissioned by NBC Universal, but based on data from other companies, it's time to ask whether there's actually much of a new market to adjust to. Piracy isn't new, of course, and it's hardly the whole problem. But the easy, illegal availability of all kinds of content has undermined the legal market for it in a way that affects the entire media business. Sites that use pirated material to draw an audience drag down the price of online advertising to the point where companies that produce new material have trouble competing. Media companies that sell products online have to lower prices in order to compete with pirated versions of those same products sold by companies that bear none of the production costs. By making it essentially optional to pay for content, piracy has set the price of digital goods at zero. The result is a race to the bottom, and the inevitable response of media companies has been cuts, first in staff, then in ambition, and finally in quality. This devaluation could also hurt the internet, since professional media provides much of the value in a broadband subscription. A 2010 study by the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism found that more than 99% of blog links to news stories went to mainstream media outlets like newspapers and networks. File sharing services are filled with copyrighted music. 7 of the 10 most popular clips in YouTube history are major label music videos. Amid the internet's astonishing array of choices, statistics show that most consumers continue to engage with the same kind of culture they did before, only in a way that's not sustainable for those who make it.